Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celian. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Welcome to the second hour. As we look at the markets, one of the things that, let me just see where we are exactly. As we look at the markets, I ought to look at the markets so I can see where we are. So it looks like the Dow's down about 321 points. That's 1 point. That's 1.25%. The Nasdaq down about 1.33%. So is the S&P. Everything in negative territory. Small caps, the Russell, negative as well. Not looking like a good day to be in the market. Might be some buying opportunities here. One of the things I'm watching for is there are two in particular, but one for sure is a foundational stock. If you're a partner and you know the foundational stock I might be talking about, it is in the industrial side of things. And it is a stock that has been fairly volatile. It's also a company that does a lot of business in China. This is a stock that could drop in a pretty, so please don't go dollar cost averaging down yet. Wait a little bit longer. Let's wait and see what happens. I'm wondering, I wouldn't be surprised to see the indices recovering a bit today towards the end of the day like they did yesterday. If not, tomorrow morning might be a good day to buy. If they do recover, maybe we give it another day. But watch that. It's already down. This is going to get hurt a little bit more in all likelihood, that particular stock. I can't think of the number of it, but maybe I'll give it to you as I when I find it. But so you make sure you know which stock I'm talking about. So as we look at that for the last five days, it's down about 3.5%. So, you know, good way to get a 3.5% on sale kind of deal on a great foundational stock. And it might be something that you would consider. Also, there's another foundational stock that is in, again, on my list on the material side that also is struggling. It's down about the same, about 2.3% over the last couple of days. That's counting today right now. What's going on right now. So that is down as well. So another opportunity to buy that stock. The valuation on that stock is even better than the last one. And the income on this particular material stock that I'm talking about is better than the other industrial stock that I was talking about earlier. And I'll try to get the numbers for those so you can be clear as to which ones I'm talking about. But nonetheless, we'll watch that. We'll watch that very, very closely. And this may be some great buying opportunities to get a hold of some of those really good foundational stocks. I just thought of another foundational stock in the material side of things. I'm wondering what that's doing. Actually, there's two of them in the two more material foundational stocks. Wow. Okay, so this other stock, I got to find this number. This would be a really... this may be an opportune time to buy dollar cost average down. And I will get these. I'm going to make a note here. So stay tuned. I'm going to give you these numbers as we go through here. I'll pick them up at the next break and read off these numbers. But this one material stock in particular ought to be one that that you give some consideration to if you don't already own it. Now, I don't want you to get overweighted in any of these for the sake of a good deal. There's another material stock. Again, this stock for the last 5 days is down 14%, and not quite, doesn't have quite the valuation as the others. So believe it or not, although it appears to be an incredibly good buy right now, and I think it is, it's still a little bit overvalued for me right now at this point. I think there's more movement on the downside, so I'll hold off on that. But I'm going to get those to you at the next break. 844-707-5533. So we'll go to the Ag Report. I'm going to get some of the numbers on these stocks that you definitely want to consider from a perspective of these are foundational stocks. I know that does not mean a lot to you who are not partners. I apologize for that. But you guys that are partners are understanding what I'm talking about. And we always want to look for opportune times to add to our foundational stocks. It's always a good thing to do. It's never a bad thing to do. I've also got an energy stock that's going to be very, very difficult right now here, maybe even today, not to add to. It's down 10% for the last 2 days. And, boy, it's going to be really hard not to add to that as well. That one has some pretty good valuation right now, but the forward valuation is not looking good. But I'm not caring too much about the foundational stocks that aren't paying decent dividends, and this one is not. But I'll mention it to you anyway as one that you might want to, again, think about dollar cost averaging. So these are great, great companies that this is why we're partners, folks. This is why we're partners. We're going to go to Ag Report. We need to stay and pay close attention to what's happening in the commodity section, particularly the ag side. Here's Craig Haugard, our Ag Reporter. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, corn traded lower yesterday due to the threats of increased tariffs on China. The good news is that corn did come back from the day's lows and did not make any new life of contract lows. Weekly export inspections came in below last week at 38.5 million bushels, which was about in the middle of the range of trade estimates. After the close, the planted acres report pegged the corn crop at 23% planted, which is well below the five-year average of 46%. Corn emerged was at 6%, which again is lagging the five-year average, which is 13% emerged by this date. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a penny lower. The soybean market traded lower in response to President Trump's Sunday tweets. July soybeans traded as low as 8.16 and 3 quarters before coming back and closing at 8.30 and a quarter yesterday. Weekly export inspections came in at 22.1 million bushels, which was actually above the top end of trade guesses. The crop planting progress report shows the bean crop at 6% planted versus the five-year average of 14%. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading 2 cents lower. The bean markets were mixed yesterday, with Kansas mostly higher and Minneapolis and Chicago mostly lower. Exports remained poor, with weekly export inspections coming in at 17.6 million bushels. The crop conditions and planting progress reports showed winter wheat crop at 64% good to excellent, whereas a year ago, only 34% of the crop fell into that category. 29% of the winter wheat crop is now headed, which is well below the five-year average of 41%. Spring wheat planting is seen as 22%, which again lags the five-year average of 49%. In the overnight trade, Chicago is trading 4 cents lower, while Kansas City is down a nickel, and Minneapolis is 2 cents lower. Cotton futures were rocked as well yesterday, with July futures closing down 213 points to settle at 73.55. The crop progress report is showing the cotton crop at 18% planted, which is pretty close to the five-year average of 19%. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are trading 60 points higher. Livestock futures had a rough day as well, with everything lower straight across the board. August live cattle were 75 cents lower, while August feeder cattle finished the day down $2.25. July lean hogs finished the day down to $3 limit per hundredweight. Class 3 milk futures bucked the trend and actually posted a higher close, with June futures up 4 points to settle at 16.62. In the overnight trade, they were trading an additional point higher. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 36 cents lower at 227 even, while selects were 69 cents higher as they settled at 213.98. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 80.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. I was talking about several stocks that are foundational stocks that ought to be considered. One of them was MA35. Man, take a long, hard look at that and see what that's done today. If you don't own MA35, you may want to consider it. If you own it, you may want to start dollar cost averaging it down. I would wait a little bit. I don't know that I would do it just yet this morning, but I would think about it. Also, I didn't mention this before the break. That was one of them. The other thing I want to mention before I forget, one of our IT stocks, one of our technologies, IT20. I know that some of you may have sold out of that. It has been up because it was up for so much and so long that you might have sold out, which was wise. That's not a problem. But I just want to mention to you, if you still own it, I don't know that I would buy it here, but it is down in the last few days. It's down about 2%. So what might not be a bad idea. But there was an article out this morning in, I don't know, I think it was the Financial Times, the European Financial Times. I don't remember. I know it. I read it really early this morning, and that's where usually I'm reading Europe by early morning. So, but talking about, this is IT20. They are in the process of working with another group, another organization that is not on my list, by the way, in developing the world's fastest supercomputer. And some of their technology is going to be used in this supercomputer. And so I say that to you because it means that this technology that this company has partly developed is going to be around for a while in all likelihood, and it may be something to consider if you don't own it. It is not on my buy list. But if you own it and you are down, which I doubt, if you own it and you're like so many others, you would be dollar cost averaging up here. If you were to buy it, you'd be dollar cost averaging up, unfortunately. But something to consider anyway. Take a look at it, and we'll see where it is. This is a company that is done very, very well, but it is, in fact, I would consider it to be somewhat overvalued, and that is one of the reasons why it's going to have a hard time getting on my list. But if you own it, IT20, and it is below your purchase price, you might want to consider adding to it. But their technology is going to be involved in this, the world's fastest computer. The world's fastest computer. This is going to be a supercomputer, the fastest in the world. It is being built right now for the U.S. Department of Energy. And it is apparently pretty amazing. So, all right. Anyway, we'll continue. So I was telling you, MA35 is one you want to dollar cost average down or think about it. MA36, I would probably wait a little bit longer, but it's almost to the point where you might have to think. I probably don't have to tell you about that. This is a foundational stock that so many of you have dollar cost averaged already over the last year or so. It has been just kind of sitting, doing nothing for the last couple of years, but it is down today about 2.5%, so you might want to just watch it. I'm not saying you got to do it, but here's the upside to this stock. It pays 50 cents a share in dividend. So it pays a really good dividend. That's about 4.5% right now, somewhere in that range of where it's dropped to right now. So that's a pretty good yield. The valuation on this company is excellent. It's a mid-cap company. It's got a great valuation, really, really solid company. you might want to consider it. Dollar cost average. The other was IN27. And IN27 also a foundational stock. So that might be another one. That has dropped over 3% in the last 2 days. So certainly one to consider. But look, if for some reason something happens this week with China, and maybe China comes in here and says, hey, we're full steam ahead, we're going to go, we sign a deal, this stock's only going to go up from here. It's not or settle in right around here. It's not going to go down any further. But if the day looks like it is still some talk about what China might not do, it's going to impact this stock, could go down even a little bit further. I would love to see this stock in below, get down about $7 lower, or not seven, $5 lower than where it is right now. That would be great. And if it breaks that, I would definitely be buying into this, at that price point. The other one I mentioned in energy is E44. A lot of you probably own enough of that, but that's getting beat up. And MA30, another foundational stock, might be one for consideration. All right, that's all the stock news. I don't usually give that kind of stock news here on the air, but I know there's so many of our partners listening and understand those companies, and I don't want you to miss out on it today, and I don't have time to be writing that in my commentary section here this morning. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to James. James calling us from Arkansas. Hey, James.
Hey, Dan. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, I really, really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
I've been a partner for about a year and a half now.
Wow, great.
And the question I have, I actually got into prior to crossing paths with you, and it's kind of a two-fold question.
Okay.
It's referring to a deferred annuity.
Okay.
And I'm 58 years old, first of all, and I bought this deferred annuity with one of the major brokerage houses about 5 years ago. And I don't really need the income yet, but yet they're encouraging me to convert that to an income annuity. And I'm wondering if that's a good move. And the reason they're suggesting that is you don't have to pay the 10% penalty, the way I understand that, if you draw before 59.5. And again, I don't need this income right now. I'm probably not going to need it for another 2 years. So that's the first question I have for you. The second one is, can I convert this over to the charitable gift annuities that you talk about?
Yes.
At some point in time.
You can, but let me ask you this question first, James. So when they are offering you this income, converting it into the income, are they giving you several options so that one of the options is your heirs still get something after a certain point or before a certain point? So let's say for the next, say you convert it to income now and you pass away in the next 25 years, are they getting something? Or is no matter what's happening, they're not getting anything? You know that answer?
No. Yeah. If let's say I pass away in 25 years and there's some money left over in there that we haven't depleted,
yes,
that would go over to my heirs.
Okay. All right, but no other options on that?
No, really.
Okay.
My confusion is, Dan, is it's grown substantially over the last 5 years. Because I don't need that income right now, I'm wondering why wouldn't I continue to ride this in the investments that I have it in?
Yeah.
I do need it. Whereas right now, if I convert this over to an income annuity, it is the lump sum that is there right now.
Okay. Well, the reason why they're encouraging you to do that is because they obviously believe that at your age, you're not likely to convert that to income for maybe even another, 8 years, 7-8 years.
Right.
And they believe that 7 or 8 years that interest rates are going to be up considerably. which means they're going to be paying out a whole lot more to you then. And they'd rather lock you in now at a lower interest rate. So that's why they're encouraging you to do that now. They don't know that you're thinking about converting in 2 years, but I suspect if you told them that, hey, I'm definitely converting in 2 years, but I'm going to wait, they probably would be happy with that. But I think they're looking at their actuarial calculations that they do in all these and think, you know, odds are you're not going to start taking it for another 7-8 years. And they can save, you know, couple million dollars if they can get a number of people in your situation to convert now. So that's why they're doing it. I would be in favor of holding it. I would not be converting it now for two reasons. One is it has been growing. You're getting a decent rate. I would ride that out a little bit longer. And I would also want to see you take the risk or the chance that interest rates could go up. There's a possibility they could go down in the next 2 years. And I would say that the possibility of them going down in 2 years are probably better than going up. But the probability of them going up in the next 5 years are probably higher than them going down. Higher, to be, the probability is higher they're going to be more than they are right now. So the income that you receive is tied into the Fed rate, just so you know. They don't tell you that. It's probably tied in the fine print somewhere. So I would tell you to hold off and wait. Yes, you can. Is it an IRA annuity?
No.
Okay. So, yes, you can convert that, and I would suggest that you do convert it to a charitable gift annuity whenever that time might be. Not now, but whenever that time might be. So once you get to that place in 2-3 years, I would definitely convert it into a charitable gift annuity so that when the Lord calls you home, it's going to the Lord's work and it's not going to an insurance company. So,
right.
I would definitely do that. It's not going to cost you any more, but the benefit is... Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. We've got another hour and a half. We're going to stay with phones and questions. If you got questions on Facebook, you can put them up, cue them up. If you're a partner and you're watching online at financialissues.org, if you're a partner and you're logged in, you'll see a chat side there. You're going to put a question up there, and we'll get to those as well. All right, let me go to Gina. Gina's calling from South Carolina. Hi, Gina.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I have a couple of questions. The first one is I have a rollover 401k that I've had for about 7 years from a previous employer. And when I originally spoke to you 7 years ago, you told me not to reinvest the dividends. But I've been thinking that since I can't add any money to this account, and it's not fully diversified, let me state that, heavy in cash, would I not be better off to reinvest the dividends, especially in those foundational stocks that I have?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure whether the foundational stocks are going to let you automatically reinvest those. But the better thing to do, Gina, so the answer to that is yes, to do that, but not on a automatic basis. Let them accumulate the dividends, and then you may have a foundational stock that is down a lot more than maybe some of the others, and I would put it all from the money market account where it's being laid up in, put it into that stock, and then next quarter maybe put it into a different one.
Thank you for that. The next question I have is a new new company has a 401k, but it is not a biblically responsible investment option. I do invest to get the match, But every time I try and reallocate it to get the, you know, like in bonds and things, when I get my statement, they come back and they've reallocated it to split amongst everything. Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, you need to call them and tell them to stop doing that. They can't do that without your permission. So I'm sure when you signed up, you probably signed off on that without knowing it. But tell them you don't want them to do that anymore. If you reallocate the positions, you know, if they're going to do it, ask them if they're going to be responsible if they reallocate it to someplace you didn't want. They won't like that question, and they'll stop doing it. So I would just call them up and tell them to stop doing it. They can't put them back. Once you make a change, that should be it.
That's what I thought, but they just, every time it seems like they go back, and so I've just had kind of given up on doing that because it always ended up getting mixed amongst everything instead of, you know, two or three things that, you know, were more responsible.
Yeah.
I guess you could say.
Yeah. No, I would just tell them not to do that anymore. And, you know, don't let them tell you that, well, they can do it if, you know, they have the rights to do that. They don't. Until then they should be taking responsibility. So if it goes down, tell them if it goes up, you'll give them the credit. If it goes down, you want them to make it good because you didn't want it there in the first place. That'll change that real quick.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gina. I appreciate the call. 844-707-5533. There's somebody in human resources right now somewhere that is not happy with me. Anyway, let me go to Sonia in Texas. Hey, Sonia.
Good morning, Dan. I have a couple of questions for you. First being, my son is graduating this weekend from college, and he's a very frugal young man. I want to give him a nice graduation gift. He's denied a trip or any luxury item. So I think the best thing to do would be to set up some sort of mutual fund, buy some stocks. So I'm calling for your advice on how to go about and what I should do for that.
So you could open up an account for him. You could either open up a Roth IRA account or just an investment account, and you would have to have his Social Security number, and then you can open that account up in his name, and you could buy, you know, some stocks or whatever you want to do there, and or you could put some cash in there and allow him to do it. In the money market part of that account. And I think that'd be a great thing to do. So you could go to like a Fidelity.com or TD Ameritrade or one of those, and you could open an account up and go, you know, get it started for them. I think that would be a good thing to do.
Okay, so I am a partner, so perhaps some of the stocks that you mentioned earlier.
Yes. So
okay.
I would look at MA35, MA36, and IN27, and maybe even IT20. So one or two of those or all of them, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that'd be a great place to start.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think he will really like this for a gift.
Great.
More so than anything else.
Great.
And my next question is probably a little more complicated. I had taken your advice way back in December, unfortunately, when the market was down, and I consolidated all of my various accounts, and I put it over, signed everything over to TD Ameritrade. And then in January, when everything was consolidated, the market had gone way up, and I was kind of stymied as to what to do, so it's just been sitting there. And I was wondering if this might be a good time now to reallocate everything and get into the market with this money.
Well, it may be by the end of the week. I don't know that you can certainly start doing it now. Things are down, so you can certainly start doing it now. Let's say it's, you know, whatever it is, the amount of money that it is, I probably would recommend. Are you still working, Sonia? Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, I would recommend that you do it over maybe a 4-month period. So maybe divide it by 4 and start allocating it. I don't know that I'd want it all in at once. Now, having said that, if sometime between now and Thursday or Friday, you know, the market drops 1,000 points or something like that, which, I mean, it's down 300 now, it was down 100 yesterday, we're almost halfway there, then I would just put it in all at once.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much, Dan, for all that you do and the patience that you show each and every one of us. So you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay. Thank you for your partnership.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Let me go. What's time we have? Let me go to Mike. Mike calling us from Ohio. Hey, Mike. Oops, wait a minute. Didn't work. Mike, you with us?
Yep, sure am.
There you go.
Hey, Dan, appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
Hey, I was looking at FR24, uh-huh. And I'm down in it. It's not on your buy list. The dividend looks awfully good, and didn't know what you thought about buying something down like that right now. I know they've had some problems, lost some contracts. Not sure what you thought about that.
Boy, are you an income investor or not?
You know, not really, but okay. You know, when you look at the dividend,
yeah,
I kind of like the income. It's hard to turn down, but I don't know if it's really the right time yet or not.
Well, you know, the stock itself is up about 18%, give or take, for the year, and still paying a very good dividend, which I don't expect it to stop. I feel good about where they are from a financial perspective. So, I'm okay with it, but I just say to you, you know, you're buying in fairly, you know, at a fairly high spot, but at the same time, when you look at the valuation of the company itself, the valuation is good. And I would be perfectly okay with you buying into this at this point. So because of valuation. So, yeah, I think it's fine.
I'm down about 13%, but I've held on to it and had it for a long time, and it's just, yeah, I look at it and just go, well, I could think of worse places to put money, I guess, but.
Yeah. That's for sure. Is it below your original cost basis? Must be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would do it. I think it makes good sense.
Yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks a lot.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call, and thank you for your partnership. I sure appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Folks, we'll be right back, 844-707-5533. We just cleared our board, so all our lines are open, 844-707-5533. Financial Issues, I'm Dan Celia. We'll be back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do that. Let's what happened to it? Let me get to some questions here. So Merle is asking, what is the procedure by which my husband moves his 401k from a business that was, I got to extend, I can't read, the restaurant, that was bought out, has current 401k with a new company. Should he open an account with E-Trade or one other place that has a question on how to do it? So, look, I would, so that old 401k, I would roll it over into an IRA. That IRA will be at a brokerage, Fidelity, E-Trade, one of those. Just do that, roll it over. I want you to do that so you'll have more options. You'll have a lot of options to do that. You'll be able to begin to get some individual stocks and build your portfolio, and that's where I'd rather see you do that. Vera is saying, God bless the first online for the town hall. Okay, thank you. So sorry I missed this. We have our annual Farmers Electric Electric Co-op, the same. Blessing to all. That's okay. So we got to identify. I see that says comment. I should have known that. Okay. Let me see. George saying hello. Hello, George. Good morning. Here you go. What is the situation with E43? That it was only on your buy list for 3 weeks. The situation is it came off my buy list. I don't know. It no longer made it to my buy list for about 30 reasons that I'm not going to go into all the detail of it. But things that are on my buy list, some of them on there for 3 months, some of them on there for 3 days. That's the way the buy list works. It's always been like that. So just because you've seen some things that have been on the buy list for a very long time and you see something that's on there for 3 days or 3 weeks, doesn't mean anything. There's no meaning behind it other than it no longer qualifies to be on my buy list because of upside potential. Because I can't even go into it. There's too many reasons. But that's why I have a buy list so that you can watch that as they go on and off. Can you please describe how we show to be diversified in the energy sector? So the energy sector is you're going to have to do a tiny bit of research. The tiny bit of research is reading everything on the buy list, meaning at the end of every stock, there is a description of the stock. Nobody ever reads it, but it's there so you will read it and get an understanding of what you have, maybe even an understanding of why you own it. So everybody should be looking at that and reading the description. That is a description that I put on there to try to give you little insights as to what the stock does. In the energy sector in particular, it will generally say, maybe it's a nat gas company, maybe it's a refinery, maybe it's a pipeline company or a transportation company. Maybe it is an oil exploration company that is actually drilling for oil. So in that, you can see, obviously, a refinery is different than an oil company. An oil company is different than an oil service company, a company that is servicing oil rigs. So all of those are in the energy sector. So there are four different areas, maybe five, that you can choose from. But you can do that by looking at the description of the company that you're buying, and that'll give you some help with that. Should give you some help. William is asking, I'm 76 years old. I do most of my banking with Bank of America. I have a Raymond James investment account liquidated, and I sent to a new Merrill Lynch account so I can start following your model to be biblically responsible. That is awesome, William. Great job. Specifically, can I invest in Timothy funds from Merrill Lynch account? Yes, you can. So if you want to invest in anything on my list, you should be able to do it from that Merrill Lynch account. The difference is that Merrill Lynch account is going to may charge you commissions where an E-Trade or a TD Ameritrade or a Fidelity might not. Now, Merrill Lynch does have a discount brokerage side. I believe they have that. And they might be able to do it for you cheaper. But to answer your question, yes, you can do that. So Joe Bob is asking, can you recommend one book on finances? And what should that book be? Thank you. I cannot recommend a book because they all say the same things. I would just go on a book on a list and take a look. I always recommend The Fear of Money. I think everybody that is getting started in investing ought to have a very good grasp of some basic fundamentals that are important to us as Christians. And there's a book called The Fear of Money that you can just send an email and request it with any donation, and we'll send it out to you. It's a book I wrote. I hate to sound self-serving, but I do believe everybody ought to read the book. There's a workbook that goes along with that if you want it, or maybe you want to do a work study with a small group, but we can do that. But that is one book, but that's not the kind of book you're looking for, probably. You're looking for a book that's going to tell you how to do certain things. So I don't recommend any books. I disagree with most of them on how to do things, so I don't recommend them. One of the best things you can do to begin learning the process is open a brokerage account somewhere, put $50 in it, and start going through how to buy a stock, sell a stock, and all the things that are on that site, and that'll give you a great deal of insights. The other thing you can do is spend $85 and partner with the ministry, and you'll start watching instructional videos on different things, and that'll help you as well. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Jimmy. Jimmy calling us from Texas. Hey, Jimmy.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Real quick, love your show. First time I've ever called in. I've been listening about a year.
Great.
I'm from Philadelphia myself.
Oh, wow, great.
Yeah, so here's what I've got going on. Me and my family, we've got a lot of debt, a lot of credit card debt. We, you know, our property value has been increased like crazy, so our escrow is eating up everything we're putting on the principal.
Right.
Yesterday we went and consolidated about four different cards and cut our loan our monthly payments in half for a lower APR. But my wife has a card from before we were married. She put her divorce on, and she was late on one payment as a single mom. They jumped their APR up to over 30%, and it's like $400 a month. We've got $20,000 on it, and for years we've not made a dent in it. Any idea if there's any way I could find a place that would take a card with that much of a loan and cut the APR, or is that just something I'm going to have to pay down over years before I can do that?
No, I would really research the heck out of it. I think you'll find somebody that might let you consolidate or transfer. First thing you might want to do is take a look at, you're going to look at Christian Community Credit Union. That would be one place to look at it and see what they might do for you. That might be a way to go. Somebody out there is going to consolidate it, but I take that. But if you're late one time, you're going to be right back in the same boat. You know, that's what they hope for. You know, that's the plan. With all of these companies, even the ones that you've consolidated with, you know, they're letting you do that because they're just waiting. You know, they're like, you know, wolves at the door waiting for you to be late for, you know, 1 hour on your payment so they can jack that rate up. So just be super cautious about it. And but I would shop it around and see if you can find somebody to take that. The only other thing you can do is start, do you have, well, you don't have any other cards. They're all consolidated now, right?
We still have a couple of them. One is with the bank that we did consolidate. Of course, they won't consolidate their own loan.
Sure.
When we have all this other debt, I understand. Told them, you know, I've got a good job. I'm working tons of overtime for the past several years. So there's still a couple things. I mean, we've already saved just yesterday with this consolidation about $600 a month.
Yeah.
And what we're doing. And we want to try to be biblically responsible, pay off all our debt. And, you know, we've already started in our family making it a yearly thing around Christmas. We give back to Christ by, you know, doing a donation to preborn.
Right.
And The only other thing they suggested at the bank I went to was possibly seeing about taking part of that loan for a lower APR at another place. But to me, that would just be like, you know, I'm paying $400 already this month instead of paying $400, I might pay $300 and then $200 to the next guy.
Right. What you ought to do, Jimmy, is take that. I would take at least $100 of that that $600 that you're saving and put it to the principal of that big credit card. I was asking you if you had other credit cards to see if you have any with a small balance on it, a smaller balance that is more manageable. If you do, then you might want to bang that smaller one out. Keep paying minimum payments on the big one. Get that paid off and then commit all that money that you're paying on that one, the little one that you've paid off, to the bigger one and just peck away at it. You'll get it done sooner than you think. Stick to your guns about this. I'm telling you, this is going to have huge, huge benefits for you and your family someday. I'm glad you're doing it. Hang in there and just keep doing it. I'm sorry, I'm right up against the end of the hour, Jimmy. I apologize, but hopefully that helps you a little bit. Folks, if you got to leave us, have a wonderful day. I sure appreciate you being with us. Remember, all that you have is His. Let's be found a good and faithful steward.